I want you to stand with me just for a few minutes as we read the Scripture, as we reverence the Scripture, and then also we'll have a word of prayer, and then you'll be seated. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Let's go to God in just a word of prayer, and then we'll be seated. Our Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace, and we realize, dear God, that without You we can do nothing. Dear Lord, we know that You are our sufficiency, You're our satisfaction, and You, Lord, are our joy and our salvation. We pray, Lord, that You will prepare our hearts to receive the good Word of God today. Thank You, Lord, for the good songs of Zion in the congregational and the choir numbers, and Brother Fleming, encouraging our heart with that good song about being a child of the King. And we that are saved ought to realize today who we are in Christ. And Lord, that we are indeed somebody going somewhere, all because of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray now that You'll take this message and work in the hearts of Your people, work in the hearts of sinners, no doubt in a crowd of this size. Lord, no doubt there are people here before us that are lost without God. And we are grateful that they are here. And dear Father, I want them to know that they are a blessing to me for them being in the service today. And I pray that You'll get personal with them. I pray the Spirit of God will deal and draw them to Yourself for salvation, full and free. Father, have Your way now, and we'll thank You for it. Give us that power, that anointing that makes preaching effective. And dear Lord, I thank You for the Word of God that we do have to read. And we can have it read us as well. And Lord, I just pray now that You'll direct my thoughts and help me to say nothing more, nothing less than, Lord, what You would be pleased with. And dear Father, may there be no fair show of the flesh, only the Holy Spirit working mightily in our midst. And we'll give You the thanks for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. And I want to look at 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 5. I've been preaching off and on several messages since last year. In fact, the first Sunday of July, we started preaching on the subject, the examination of salvation, last July on the first Sunday of July. And we've been trying to mind the Lord on that and preach on it as the Lord led our hearts to do so. We preached on it a few times last year and saw several people get saved, and then the Lord led us away from it. And then back just a month or two ago, the Lord led us back to the subject again, and we preached 4, 5, 6 times on it, and there's been yet other people have gotten saved. But I feel impressed this morning to continue that thought on the examination of salvation. And I don't want to spend all of my time this morning in review. No, we've got a lot of visitors in our midst, a lot of people that haven't been hearing these messages. But just want to show you that a couple of 3 or 4 things here just to kind of get our minds going in the same direction, that the Apostle Paul is writing this verse of Scripture to a local church. He's writing this verse to a professing body of believers. I said professing. You can be involved or be identified with a body of believers and still not be a believer. You can be a professor but not a possessor. Amen. You can claim salvation without it really being true in your heart and life. And only you're going to know that. That's why the emphasis of verse 5 is on you doing these things yourself. Examine yourselves. That is, you do it. Don't examine me. Don't examine your neighbor or other people, which we are so prone and professionals at doing. God said, examine yourself. You're the only one on planet Earth that you're going to know whether you're saved or not. You can only guess that I am, or maybe even be persuaded that I am, but you cannot know that I am. I know that I am saved. That's why I'm excited this morning. That's why I'm serving the Lord, because it's real to me that I have been born again. Amen. And he said, examine yourself. And then he said, prove your own selves. And then in verse 5 also it says, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. And the alternative is, he said, except you be reprobates. He said, you're either saved, Jesus is in you, or as it's described also in verse 5, you're in the faith. You're in the faith, or Christ is in you. Both of them is one and the same. And he said, if it's not so, then he said, you're a reprobate, as verse 5 shows. And that word simply talks about someone that's not genuine. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 30, you find the Bible talks about reprobate silver. Reprobate silver, talking about counterfeit, talking about silver that wasn't right, wasn't genuine. We've all heard of fool's gold, and most of us have seen it. And guess what? Everything that glitters is not gold. You know, we have a little saying, we say in the mountains, sometimes what you see is what you get. That's not necessarily true. Amen. What you see may not be what you're getting. Amen. There may be something there that does not meet the eye. There's a lot of people that I've saw that I thought, well, amen, they're saved. But then they get saved. Then I've saw some that I thought, man, that crowd, something's wrong with them. And they claim to be saved. So I just, instead of me trying to figure it all out, Brother Eric, and get ulcers and go nuts and lose my mind, I've decided to just let that be between them and the Lord and just borrow Paul's advice and tell you to examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Nobody has the right or authority to tell another person, you are saved. You don't have that authority. You don't know that. You don't have that information. That can only come to the individual through two sources. One is the Scriptures. John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. For they are they that testify of me. The second source of assurance is not only the Scriptures, but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the witness of God that confirms to you and gives you blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And so Paul's telling this church to do that. Why? He suspects that inside this assembly are professing lost people. Did you know you can be an unbelieving believer? And you can also be a believing unbeliever. Now you have to write that down, study on it when you're eating after a while, amen? But you can be both. You can be one or the other. You can be a believing unbeliever, like James 2 talks about. The devils also believe and tremble. They weren't saved, but yet the Bible said they believed. So they were believing unbelievers. And then on the other hand, there are people that are believers, but they struggle with unbelief. So they can be believing unbelievers. Or, amen. I'm about to get confused on it. Amen. So you study it out for yourself. But Paul said, examine yourself. Not only a person that's fearful and afraid of examining themselves, they're afraid of what they might find or might not find. Listen, if I wasn't saved, I would want to know it. I mean, why would I want to avoid examining myself? In light of the Scriptures, why would I want to get gun shy when a preacher starts preaching on the examination of salvation, draw up in a knot like, oh no, he's going to preach on that subject again? No, that shouldn't bother you if you're saved. Because you should want to know what you have or don't have. Amen. I preached several of these messages in a revival a few weeks ago that went 2 weeks down in Hendersonville, where Brother Charlie Corn was at, Fair Haven. And there was one lady stood up on the second row. Well, not Brother Craig, you was there that night, I believe. And she said, if I examine myself anymore, I'm just going to explode. Because the more she examined herself, the more certain it was, the more evident that it was, that she was indeed a child of God. And she said, if I examine myself anymore, I'm just going to blow up. Amen? Amen. So see, examining yourself is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Amen. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Well, there's a lot of things we could say, but we've already preached several messages. One, we talked about when you examine yourself, here's some things that you'll find in your life. The first time we talked about, you'll find the Word of God, the effectual working of God's Word in you that believe. according to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. You'll find the Word of God. Nobody gets saved apart from the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Of His own will beget He us with the Word of truth. What will you find when you investigate yourself, search and scrutinize and look at yourself impartially and personally? Look at yourself and examine yourself. Guess what? You'll find the Word of God. You'll find the working and the feeding and the nurturing and the cleaning of the Word of God in your life. Amen. A person is fooling themselves if they don't ever have a relationship with this book. Your relationship with this book is your relationship to God. A person that does not have a relationship with this book, never reads it, does not have a desire for it, don't want to live by it, you are deceiving yourself to tell anybody that you are saved. You know what God's people are? We are Bible believers. We believe the Word of God, not just believe it, but how you believe determines how you behave. If you believe right, you behave right. If you've got a right relationship with the book, it'll show up in your life. But you'll find the Word of God. And then number two, we talked about, you'll find the work of God. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God. I'm not much. I never have claimed to be much. But I tell you what I do know, and I can see for a fact, I can see and have seen for 27 years the work of God. That night I got saved, that wasn't my doings. That night I got saved, that wasn't the preacher's doings. That night I got saved, what mom and daddy's doings. I tell you, it was God's doings. He begun the good work in me. And you know what? 27 years later, that work is still going on in my life. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. If you examine yourself, you'll find the work of God. You'll find Him working in you. You'll find Him working on you. And you'll find Him working through you. Amen. Yes. God makes you a new creature when He saves you. And that word new creature means a new creation. It's evident that He done the work and is doing the work. And then thirdly, we discovered when preaching on this that when you examine yourself, you will find a witness of God. You'll find the Holy Spirit in you. Praise God, I like that. Every time I get to preaching about it, the Holy Spirit's inside of me going, "Hey man, yes, amen." Amen. If you do not have the Holy Spirit in you, Romans 8 and 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you are not saved. Period. Doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized. It doesn't matter how many times you've joined the church. It doesn't matter how moral you are, how clean you live, how sincere and how honest. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, not my opinion, it's not what Baptists think, God's Word says you are not His. You'll find the witness of God. That's why a lot of people can sit in good services and be dried up and dead and never get in on it. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. Amen. That's right. Amen. See, a lost person's dead spiritually. Everybody knows that. Knows anything about the book, Brother Silas. Lost people are dead spiritually. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible said, and you hath He quickened, that is, made alive, who were dead in trespass and sin. See, lost people are dead. They're dead toward God. That's why when God moves, there's no response from them. When God speaks, there's no response from them. They sit there like a dying cat in a hailstorm. Why? They're dead spiritually. Let me tell you what happened to me 27 years ago and happened to you when you got saved. When you got saved, God, the resurrection and the life, resurrected you, quickened your spirit, made it alive, regenerated you, give you life. And I'll tell you now what happened is, guess what? This is where I can't hardly stand it, Brother Fleming. He made my spirit alive. And then He put His spirit in me. And every once in a while, my spirit and His spirit gets in there and they get to having a time. You say, is that scriptural? Oh yeah, Romans 8 and verse 16. His spirit bears witness with my spirit that we are the children of God. And I'm going to tell you what's the truth, friend. When I get to looking in my heart and life, examining myself, Brother, God's Holy Ghost and my spirit that's been made alive and quickened, they get to witnessing back and forth. They get to fellowshipping. They get to worshiping. And we have a time. Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. I don't have to go anywhere to have a time. Amen, brother. I don't have to go nowhere, Brother Seals, to have a time. Some people's got to be in certain places, got to be around certain people. Not me, because all I need to worship is inside. Holy Spirit and my spirit. Say, preach, I've claimed I've been saved for years. I don't know nothing about that. How could the Holy Spirit take up residence in your life and you not know it? How in the world could something as big and devilish as the devil move out of you and something as big and glorious as God move into you and bring His suitcases with Him and you not know it? Thank God. I'm telling you, I can shout tonight. Brother Craddock said in the choir, I didn't need the preacher to tell me I'm saved. I don't need nobody else to say it. It don't matter if the world questions it. It don't shake me a bit, because inside of me, I've got God's confirmation. The Spirit of God is saying, amen, you're saved. The witness of God. You saved, you've got the witness in you. Holy Spirit's been given to them that believe. Hallelujah, that's right. Now, I want to ask a lot of people that claim to be saved, where's the Holy Ghost at in you? How about that? Have a good time this morning. I want to ask a lot of people, Brother Fleming, where's the Holy Ghost at? You claim to be saved, claim to have been saved for years. Where is the Holy Ghost at in you? Where's the Holy Spirit in you? Still living in sin? Still cussing like a sailor? Drinking like a fish? Amen? Still doing all of that stuff, but yet you claim to be saved? Where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the influence of the Holy Spirit? Where's the leadership of the Holy Spirit? The Bible said in Romans 8 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I can tell you where He will lead you. He will lead you away from sin. He will lead you to the house of God. Rogersville's full of people that claim to be saved and never go to church. I preached all week this week, Brother Williams. I preached all week this week to a fellow 75 years old. Claims that he got saved when he was little. And was out of church 59 years. And he's only been back in church as far as coming to church for Father's Day of last year, a little over a year. And nothing I said, nothing I preached, and Brother Banks said he's preached everything under the sun. And nothing seems to shake him, nothing seems to move him, nothing seems to touch him. I tell you, friend, me personally, can I give you my opinion? My opinion is, why would anybody want to trust to have a salvation that left him out of the house of God for 59 years? Amen. That's right, praise God. I'm glad I'm saved, amen. And when I got saved, the Lord put it in my heart to go to the house of God and to be with God's people. God's people is my people. Hey, if I'm going to heaven with God's people, why don't I want to go to church with God's people? You say a bunch of hypocrites. Preach. Well, there's hypocrites at Walmart, but I'm sure you'll go before sundown. I'm sure you work with hypocrites, but I'd say you won't go in and tell your job owner there you're quitting. Why are you quitting? Well, there's hypocrites on the job. No, you just move in there and say, scoot over. You're not getting in the way of my paycheck.
That's right. In fact, if you look it up in the Webster's, hypocrite means phony anyhow. Means a fake. I'd rather go to church with a few than go to hell with all of them. Amen? Amen. There's always been tares among the wheat. Always. Jesus said they'd be that way. Amen? Amen. Don't let the hypocrites keep you out. Get in. All the apples in the bushel's not bad. Praise God. I tell you, friend, listen, I've been saved 27 years. A little over 27. Not near as long as Brother Fleming. But I want to tell you what, some of the best people in the world goes to church. You listen to the crowd out yonder and they'll make it sound like that. All that go to church is a bunch of heathens. All that go to church is a bunch of cheaters and liars. Won't they, Brother Fleming? They'll try to downplay it. You know what they're doing? They're trying to excuse their life of not going to church. What are you going to do with Hebrews 10:25? Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. What are you going to do with that? That is a command from God to the people of God to assemble yourself with the people of God. Amen. I don't have time, and I'm not going into my testimony, but I ran away from home one time over going to church issue. My daddy said, you either go or not be here when I get back or suffer the consequences. And I've done been introduced to the consequences in the back room. I done knew all about the consequences. My daddy was very patriotic. He'd take me back there in the bedroom and I'd see stars and turn blue. Amen. And I'd come out singing, nearer my God to thee. Amen. Amen. Well, I ran away from home. Make a long story short, I want to tell you, listen, ran away from home over the issue, I'm not going to church. I'd rather be out there with the devil's crowd. You know why? That was my crowd. That drinking, cussing bunch, that was my crowd. But happy day, thank God. January 20th, 1981, I realized by the work of the Spirit of God that I didn't have nothing but a profession and a baptismal certificate and a church membership. I didn't have Him. I didn't have God. God didn't have me. I wasn't saved. Made an old-fashioned trip to an old-fashioned altar. Thank God it exercised repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, got up from the altar, saved. Hallelujah. I didn't get up religious. I got up with a relationship. There's a big difference, Brother Hicks, from being religious and having a relationship. I went down to that altar. The only father I had was earthly, Don Rackley. But I got up as the choir sung. I have a heavenly father now. Well, how I got on all that, I was just going to give a few introductory thoughts, but I got plugged in right there. Hallelujah, amen. Well, if I could summarize it all, I could summarize it by saying this. If you get saved, God has hooked you up with Him. If I could just summarize it all into one statement for you to go to the house with, that's it. When you get saved, buddy, God hooked first. God unhooks you from this world and then hooks you up with Him. A lot of people's claiming to have a hook up with heaven and they seem to be really doing fine with this world. They love it. They live for it. They live in it. All that they, listen, amen. Not the least bit interested in holiness. Not interested in purity and godliness and faithfulness in the Bible and the work of God. Not interested. They're still hooked up with the world. That's how I know, Brother Silas, I got in. It's because got me out. See, I couldn't get in until I got out. The same God that got me into Christ and into the body of Christ is the same one that got me out of the kingdom of darkness, amen. And I'm just about to get excited about it this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah! I don't have to watch nothing big. I don't have to have a big boom and a big fireworks to fire me up. I tell you, I'm feeling fireworks in my soul this morning. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be saved. It's good to know God. It's good to know your sins have been forgiven you. It's good to be on the right side of Calvary. It's good to have life and be saved. Hallelujah, Brother Fleming. Glory to God. Yes, amen. Brother Fleming, you feel a witness on that. You feel a witness on that. You know what that is? That's His Spirit. And bearing witness with my spirit. And amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, the more that happens, the smaller this building will get. Amen. Amen. The more God ministers to you and you're hooked up with Him, listen, and listen, here's the thing. When you're hooked up with Him, you don't have to have. You don't have to have all that this world tries to give you. If you've got Him, you've got enough to be satisfied forever. You've got enough, thank God, to make it to glory if you are saved by the grace of God. Amen. My team, whatever my team is, don't even have to win for me to get excited. Mine's coming from the inside. The big S, spirit, and the little S, human spirit, is alive and all in the same body. And sometimes that's about more than I can handle. Hallelujah. I made a mistake one time. Let me just give you this. I made a mistake one time years ago. Brother Eric, I was up under a choir bench praying in that 7-week revival. God got up under that choir bench with me like I'd never experienced before in my life. Scared me to death. All the highs I'd ever had was worldly highs. And I'll leave it at that. I'm ashamed of all of them. Amen. But in that, underneath that altar, underneath that choir bench, Brother Fleming, God got up under that bench. He said, God, the one that lives in heaven, one that is holy and harmless and undefiled, and God so big, heaven's His throne and earth's His footstools, and God that's so big that He can measure the span of heavens with a hand, and God can do that, and God would get under a choir bench with you. Brother Williams, God got under that bench with me. I'm going to tell you what's the truth. It was surreal. It was so real. Let me tell you what I've done. I've never done it again. I said, Lord, I'll never do it again. I said, Lord, You're going to take some of this off me. I said, God, You're going to take some of this off me. I feel like I'm dying. I feel like I'm going to leave here right under this altar, underneath this choir view. I said, God, You're going to take some of this off of me. I'm telling you, I thought I was leaving here. And God did. God took some of it off of me. And after a while, I'd just been saved just a few days. I didn't know what was going on. See, I didn't want to tiptoe around the edges. I wanted to get in the deep water. And I got in, listen, and I realized later on, Brother Mark, what happened, what God was doing, and what stupid thing I asked Him to do, take some off of me. And I said, God, if You ever get on me again like that, I'll never ask You to get off of me. I'll never ask You to take some of that off. If I leave, if I die, what a greater way to go, Brother Brian. When I walk through the pearly gates, some say, how in the world did you get here? What happened to you? I said, I was underneath a pew, and I died from an overdose of glory. The inside got more than the outside could handle. And so finally the outside just fell off and the inside took flight to glory. By the way, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen when He comes. When Jesus comes, the outside's going to be like the robe of flesh. It's just going to drop. And the inside is going to glory. I'm excited about being saved. I say glory. Hallelujah. Woo. I say glory. Thank you, Lord. What a blessing. And I say glory. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. I'm just going to bump through some of these things that I wanted to get on my... Amen. But I can't help it. The water got deep too quick. The water got over my head. Amen. Hey, it don't matter if we preached or I didn't hear before. God's all over it, amen. Hallelujah. You'll find the witness of God. And not only am I preaching it, I'm experiencing it. I'm experiencing that Holy Ghost inside. Bearing witness with my spirit. Let me know that I am saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'd hate to be saved, claim to be saved, and expect to go to heaven and never get excited. I wonder, Brother James, what was it going to take to get some people fired up? I'm telling you, I feel God in this place this morning. I've got liberty abundant to preach. It's just wonderful coming out faster than I can get it out. Amen. Coming down faster than I can get it out. And it's a puddling up on the inside. Amen. Hey, that's what happens when you got an inflow that's coming in faster than the outflow. It's going to start backing up on you. Amen? I feel like it's a backing up on the inside. And you know what's going to happen before long? It's going to start leaking out the seams. And something's going to give. Something's going to break. You say, I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that. I think it's mostly it. Oh, you know what the Bible said in First Peter? We out in the water, we might as well just hang around. You know what the Bible said in 1 Peter 1? It was in verse number 8. Whom having not seen you love? Know you see him not, yet you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. I studied that one time, Brother Craig, what that word full means. And guess where I found that word used in John 21. That's the word full of glory. It's used in John 21 when the disciples brought in the net full of fishes. And there were so many fish in that net, Brother Williams, that everybody that saw it couldn't believe it hadn't just absolutely bursted at the seams. It had everything stretched tight. It was so full it was about to explode. That's right. That's me this morning. Full, the seams are stretched tight. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, I know we all go through hard times and we all get down and we all go through dry times. But I'm telling you, somewhere along the way, a child of God's going to get excited about being saved. Somewhere along the way, a child of God, my friend, is going to get more excited about his heavenly home than he is his earthly home. It bothers me to see people, my friend, that never gets excited. I'm talking about never get excited about spiritual things. They get excited about fleshly things, financial things, carnal things, physical things, but they never get excited about spiritual things. Witness. I'm the witness of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you? I don't think you should have to examine too much to find footprints and fingerprints of the Holy Spirit all in your life. I don't believe you should have to look far. I don't think you should have to look long. I don't think you should have to turn over too many rocks in your heart and life to find evidence that God is in you. Are you saved? Do you know Him this morning? Now I'm going to tell you, visitors and church members both, I never intended to stop being where we're at right here. I wanted to get all the way through that and get to the next message in the series. And I wanted to deal with, when you examine yourself, you will find the walk of God.
Amen.
Buddy, there's verse after verse after verse that attaches your walk to you being saved. Let me just say this, and I'm going to be done. Ms. Foster, if you will make your way. Let me say this right here. If you're saved, it will
Not can, might, possibly. It will be revealed in your walk. If you're not walking it, you don't have it. And we will prove that from the Word of God. But seem like Brother Brian again, the emphasis this morning. God got us hooked up on that witness. If you're saved, you've got the witness in you. The Holy Spirit in you. Amen. And that's bigger than my ability to explain. I can't explain all of what all that means. But I promise you, if you're saved, Holy Spirit's in you, according to that book. It's a fact. Holy Spirit's in you if you're saved. But I'll tell you this. Don't settle for a salvation that don't put the Holy Spirit in you. Watch this right here. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is the only tangible evidence I have of heaven.
Absolutely.
This is the only thing from heaven that I can put my hands on, Brother Fleming.
Amen.
Don't get excited about that, brother. Sister Fleming, this Bible is the only thing from heaven that I can put my hands on. Tangible. Brother Flem, you about to get excited, brother. I'm going to go eat dinner with you. This Bible is from heaven. The Holy Spirit's from heaven. And here's when I can't hardly stand it. This is external, and it's from heaven. The Spirit, Brother Preston, is in me, and He's from heaven. And brother, when this book externally gets to blessing me, and the Holy Spirit from heaven internally, Brother Gene, gets to blessing me, I'm about blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed by the Word from heaven and blessed by the witness from heaven. A person saved's got both. Amen. Let's pray. Father, pray, Lord, You take the message, dear God, this morning. Use it for Your glory. Lord, speak to our hearts here today. Lord, I thank You for allowing Your Holy Spirit to grace us this morning. And I love You for that. And dear Lord, I didn't intend on getting hung up here. I really didn't, Lord. I really didn't. I intended when I come to the pulpit to say a few words, introductory thoughts, and get into the new aspect of the message. But Lord, You got us hooked up in that one. And it was evident. I believe the Holy Spirit was bearing witness. That's what You wanted. And Lord, it's not about us, no way. It's not what we want. It's what You want. It's all about You, Lord. If You want us to preach on this every day from now on, that'd be fine too. As long as You anoint it. As long as there's power. As long as there's a realness to it and a freshness to it. Lord, it don't matter about the rest. And Lord, there may be some of our visitors here today or even some of our members, Lord, here today, that have investigated and searched and gave an impartial look into their own heart and life, examining themselves, see whether they be in the faith. And Lord, right now, they've done that. And they said, Preacher, in their heart, they would probably have to say, Preacher, I've examined myself. I don't see that effectual working of the Word of God. I don't see the work of God. I don't see the witness of God in my life. Preacher, am I saved? Lord, I can't tell them yea or nay. But I do know this. If salvation's in them, there will be scriptural evidence to prove it. There'll be scriptural evidence to verify it. Not one day after salvation, not one day after a person getting saved, that there will not be any evidence of that salvation experience. It'll continue with them right not only through this life, but it'll go right on beyond the grave and throughout eternity. Evidence of being saved. Lord, there's people in this building today needs to really do some checking up. And I don't know, I don't have anybody in mind when I'm praying that. I just feel impressed to pray that. Lord, there's young people in this service today that claim that they're saved. Very little evidence. Very little evidence. Lord, I just preach what You led me to preach this morning. And I'm asking You, dear God, today to save sinners. Lord, help every person in this building to let God be true and every man a liar. Help them, Lord, not to trust feelings. Help them, Lord, not to trust Your Father what somebody thinks or said. But help them, Lord, to be have that assurance in their heart. One way or the other, saved or lost, by the Word of God and by the witness of God. Father, have Your way now. In Jesus' name I pray.